Amen. Amen. Let's give God some praise this morning. Amen. Say hello to somebody today that's maybe sitting next to you or sitting around you as you take your seat. We are so happy that you are here with us today. Let me just make a little word. It seems like that everybody here has either seen the Facebook announcement or has a part of the group text. If you did not receive a text message yesterday, then be sure to sign up at the end of service. We know and believe that there will be another Sunday in Kentucky where we may have to make a change to our schedule, to our calendar. So make sure that you are connected there. You don't want to miss it. Katie will be sure to mention it again at the end of service. But today we're happy that you are here. Happy to be able to be in church with you the first Sunday of the new year. See, last Sunday was a little bit wild for me and my family. There's this thing that's been going around called Flu A. Anybody resonate or connect with it? Yeah. She is mean and abusive, and we'll just knock you down for days in and days out. Well, that hit me on Saturday. And on Sunday, we had plans to go on our family vacation to Tennessee with my parents and my sister and family. And so Sunday, it was like, what are we going to do? It's questionable, but we're supposed to check in. And so I look at Emily that morning. I said, I think I can make it to Tennessee, but you're going to have to drive. And you're also going to have to pack up everything because I literally cannot move. So on Saturday, no joke, my wife gets up that morning. I am literally sleeping in bed. She just starts packing up everything. And everything is like her clothes, the boys' clothes. I was able to take care at least myself. And then by the grace of God, it all comes together. She packs it all up, gets it into the car. And then literally, I basically just make a move from the bed to the passenger seat. I don't fit well in the passenger seat, number one, but then if you were to see me, it's just literally with my big pillow, holding it and just saying, I literally look at him and I'm like, good luck, you can do it. And we take off to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Now we have three boys. Going anywhere with them is a challenge. To all the parents in the room, you know what it's like to travel anywhere for any distance with your kids. Before you even leave, somebody wants a snack. Before you even pull out, somebody wants a drink. And then we have three boys, so that means that they're fighting over something literally the entire way. And all that I can do throughout the whole way there is say, Emily, you got it. Or just scream and yell just for a moment. That was one of the most chaotic trips that we have had in a long, long time. But it got worse. It got worse. You see, we stay in these little Airbnbs in Tennessee. And if you've ever been to an Airbnb in Tennessee, you never know where you're going to end up. You never know. You're making turns left and right. You're going into people's neighborhoods. You're pulling into people's driveways thinking that it's your home, but it's not. And you're trying to follow this little thing called a GPS. Right? Once again, I'm no help. Here's Emily, literally with the GPS in her phone, trying to navigate us and make it there. And if anybody knows like how the last 30 minutes of a trip goes, it never goes well, ever. Emily's screaming and yelling. The GPS is screaming and yelling. Avery's screaming and yelling. Asher and August are still fighting and screaming and yelling. And I'm still hugging my pillow, just saying, please, God, help us just get there. Chaos, right? Chaos. Sometimes the GPS is supposed to get us to where we want to be, but oftentimes it will. But man, it's not without challenges and it's not without a little bit of chaos. 2024 may have felt like that for you and for your family. Chaos. Like you just took three kids with a flu A husband and packed up and went to Tennessee and tried to get there in one breath and one piece. Maybe that's what 2024 looked like. But we want to begin the year, as I prayed about and just thought about what this Sunday was going to be for us, I wanted it to frame a picture of what it could be for 2025. That doesn't necessarily matter what 2024 looked like. We look ahead into 2025 and away from chaos to a little bit of peace and direction that we're all seeking and wanting. Monday for us looked a little bit different. I finally started feeling better. All the fevers have broke. The kids were now no longer having to travel 4 hours, and it was Dollywood Day. Anybody ever been to Dollywood? It is a magical place. It's awesome. And so we pack up on Monday. Monday's a little bit different. Arcari is still screaming children wanting snacks. It's still some fighting boys, but there's not as much chaos. Two reasons. We know where we're going because we've been there before. And then number two is there's a lot of joy and excitement for where we're going. That's what I pray for you in 2025. That it would be a sense of like, we know a sense of where we're going. And with it, we have some joy and we have some excitement. Here's what I pray today is that you would begin to see in 2025 a family driven by a shared vision, that you know what you're about, you know where you're going, and that you know that you are in it together. Now, 2025, I think not this past Friday, but next Friday is called Quitters Friday, because it's when most people who start a New Year's resolution quit and give up. New Year's resolutions is one of my favorite things. Personal goals, admirations to try to be better for the new year, but it's really, really difficult, isn't it? But most of the time, what I begin to notice in myself and I notice around you, us, is that how many this year wants to personally become healthier? Maybe some, yeah. If you choose not to personally become healthier, more than likely, you will become more unhealthy. More than likely. That's just the way it kind of goes. It's like you don't really get to make a choice. It's either healthy or unhealthy. How many of you want to be better with your finances this year? Always, right? There's something to be said about that. Same thing. If you want to be improved there, you take some steps to improve. If you don't take some steps, more than likely, they will not improve. Maybe it's just to, like, anybody in here is still just like, I'm surviving until bedtime. That's my goal. Survive until bedtime. Maybe that's it. What I began to find in myself and once again around me is that when we think about 2025, we oftentimes think about how we can improve personally, how you can improve yourself, how you can make this year the best year for you. But what I want to flip the script on you today is I want you to think about the most important relationships in your life, the most important ones. It could be your wife. It could be your husband. It could be your girlfriend. It could be literally your best friend. It could be your father, your mother, your kids, your family. Think about the most important relationship that you have. And I want you to think about today, what would it look like to invest in those relationships this year? I want to phrase it like this in a question that's very large but broad, and it fits no matter what demographic you're in, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are. What's the vision for your family in 2025? What's the vision for your family? So you say, well, Aaron, it's actually just me. Great. That's your family. But then if you look around, hopefully you'll find that there's also some people here that love you and care for you. That's also part of your family. You're never alone here. But what's the vision for your family? You've thought about what the vision is for yourself for 2025, or the absence thereof, which is even a decision. But I want you to think about what is the vision for your family this year? You see, few of us stop to ask this question. But for the most important relationships that we have, what is the vision that we have? Listen, without a clear vision, families will often drift through life just trying to hit the next milestone or just trying to hit to the next day. But I believe that there's something greater that the Lord has in store for us and that He wants with us. Oftentimes we drift just trying to make it through. Focus on surviving today instead of really thinking about what would it look like for our family to thrive tomorrow. That's what we're stepping into today. What if your family, what if your family could be so much more? What if your home became a place of purpose, a place of unity and lasting legacy? What would that look like? Today, I'm going to lead you through something that is, I believe, going to be really challenging, but also could just transcend your entire year, is that I want to help you see that there's an importance in crafting a family vision for your life. I want to tell you today why it matters. I want to tell you how you can start building your family vision, and I want to give you some practical tools to make it happen. That's my goal. Now, who in here is like, you travel anywhere, you use a GPS? I love it. It gets me from A to B. Who in here is like, nope, never. I just go with it. Yeah, you're crazy people. It's just the crazy ones. You're the wanderers or the explorers. There are something comfortable. My mom, she still carries an atlas. Anybody still do one of those? Like she prides herself. She carries an atlas with her. There's something about knowing where you're going, isn't there? There's something about understanding what the journey may be like. There's something about understanding the twists and the turns. But there's also something very peace that brings a lot of peace of mind about a GPS that will get you from one destination to the next. What I'm offering for you and your family today and for my family today is almost like this GPS that for the next year will help guide your decisions, that will help guide how you lead your family, will help guide how you invest in your family. Oh, what we're offering, this family vision, is a guide for you over the next year. You see, without it, I believe that we may struggle or we may wander. A family vision is like a GPS. It helps you navigate the chaos of life with direction and peace. And to give you a little bit of the verse that we're going to look at today, towards the end of the Old Testament, there's a few books. One of them is called, I'm going to try to say it. It's just terrible. I can't hardly say it. Habakkuk. Habakkuk. That's it. Habakkuk. If you can find it. If you go to the end of the Old Testament, you'll see a little book where God has given a vision to Habakkuk about how he will restore Judah. Now, like us, Habakkuk is really frustrated with God's silence. Habakkuk lived during a time where there was moral decline in Judah. And there's a dialogue all throughout the book that reveals his frustration over the injustices that he witnessed, and more importantly, God's silence. You see, but God responded to him in this book with a vision of what he would accomplish in his timing. And in response to the vision, in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, if you have your Bibles, you can try to find it. Like I said, at the end of the Old Testament, he says this. He says, Habakkuk, I'm about to give you a vision of how I will restore and redeem Judah. But here's what I need you to do. I need you to write the vision. I need you to make it plain on tablets so that he may run who reads it. He's like, I'm about to give you a vision for how I'm about to move, but I need you to make sure that you write it down, that it's plain, and that those who read it have a clear vision of which they are to run. The context for us, the application of this verse, I believe, just like Habakkuk, like there are reasons for why we write visions down. You see, God's instructions is for him to write the vision and to make it plain. It's meant to ensure that God's revelation was preserved and understood clearly by all. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, just before, as they're talking about going into the promised land, I've got a few verses I'm going to read here, but we're going to land on verse 9. It says, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your sons, by keeping all of his statutes and commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And then he says this in Deuteronomy 6:9. He says, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, all so that we would never forget the vision of the Lord and his commands that he has for his people. Let them ever be on your tongue, but let them be everywhere, everywhere, so you may never forget what the Lord has commanded, what the Lord has done. Listen, just as Habakkuk and Moses were instructed to articulate and communicate God's visions and commands, so too is it the duty for us to communicate a clear, Christ-centered vision for our families. Not just defining them, but actually writing down the vision of your family to honor God. You see, this will be a way in which we can find direction this year. See, there's this word that happens, like, you ever gotten to a situation to where you're in a boat without a paddle? I have not. That sounds terrible. But what happens if you're in a boat without a paddle is you drift. I've been on a pontoon boat that ran out of gas. That was terrible. Same thing happens. You drift. There's no control. There's no direction. Many of you, what you've been doing year in and year out is you've just been drifting. No aim, no direction. The chaos of today, the worries of tomorrow, the fears of the past, they've all just consumed you to where you haven't set forth a direction for your life. You haven't set forth the direction for your marriage. You haven't set forth the direction for your kids, for your grandkids. You've simply just been drifting. Aren't you tired of drifting? Don't you know that God has so much more in store for you than to just drift through life, to drift through another year, to drift through your marriage, to drift through your parenting, to drift through your relationships? He has more in store for each and every single one of us. The enemy wants you to drift, not God. God has given us each divine purpose. God has given us each divine direction. In so many ways, it's simple, but then in so many ways, it's individual. And so I pray that for us today that we would stop drifting. See, drifting is not a neutral decision either, but rather a conscious decision to wander versus explore. So some practical implications for us today that I want to walk us through. When we look at Habakkuk, there was three things. It says, write the vision, where families actively are working and reflecting on and documenting the values and the direction for your life. He says, make it plain on tablets. This is a way of simplicity, a way of discerning and finding clarity for you and your family, so that he may run who need it. See, a clear vision empowers action. It empowers decision for you and your family with a divine purpose, direction, and intentional living. And lastly, it's a word of encouragement that God right now has called you to unite the vision that he has for you and for your life. Reminds us that even in certain times, we can trust his plan and act in alignment with his will. Families, we can take courage today, believing that we are part of God's broader story of redemption, both now and for the future. Why it matters so much to me today, and why it matters, I believe, for you today. Can you imagine how different the world would be if every single family lived with a God-centered vision? Can you imagine what your family would look like today with a clear vision and direction of your life? Can you imagine what Carter County would look like today if families were living on purpose? Today, what about your family? What would that look like? When you have your kids and you have your grandkids and you have your nieces and your nephews and you have those friends that you are just investing in and loving in, think about the legacy that you are investing in and you are leaving behind. Every single time that we have a kid, I make this comment. I say, so just trying to make the world a better place. That's what I say. I don't know if you've ever heard me say, like, yeah, just bringing another Rayburn in the world, trying to make the world a better place. Part of it's joking, but part of it's true. Part of it's true. It's like the more little Rayburns that I can bring into the world, I believe, like, the world will be a better place. Amen. That's right. Amen. I hear my people. But think about this. What kind of legacy are you building? What kind of legacy are you leaving behind? Now, here's the spoiler alert. Here's the honest truth that I keep coming back to. If you don't decide your family's direction, the world will make the decision for you. Over and over again. Like, this is what I believe this year is. Like, it is the investment in our families. We can begin by making the decision of what we want to see our families look like over the next year. And if you choose not to, which this is all optional, right? If you choose not to, here's what I want to caution you with, is that the world is hungry. The world is craving. The world is thirsting after the influence of your kids, the influence of your life, the influence of your husbands, the influence of your wives. Like, it is so powerful, the world and the way it works. It's distracting. It's cunning. It sweeps you in. And it will do that without intentionality and without direction. So that's the spoiler alert that I give you. God is calling your family to stand out. God is calling my family to stand out, to shine as a beacon of his love and truth in a very broken world. But for that to happen, you need to know where you are going. I need to know where we're going. And so very practically today, and this will just be a touch point. We'll connect more this week through the newsletter and through text messaging and through our joint communication about how do you actually do this? How do you create a family vision? Well, first things first is that you have to ask this one question. As a family, why do we exist? Well, it's a really big question. Or you could say it this way. As a family, we exist to. Organizations, companies, churches, philanthropies, whatever you have, every single one has a mission statement. Every single one of them has a conviction of why they exist. Let's play a little game. Here's one. This is a harder game. I was easy on Christmas. This one's harder. This is a mission statement of one company that I love. To discover and spread ideas that spark conversation, deepen understanding, and drive meaningful change. That's a tough one, isn't it? Lots of different companies. But you've probably seen them on YouTube with big red letters that have three of them, where somebody stands on the stage just like I do and communicates some sort of truth. TED Talks. That's their mission. That's their vision. Now, this one is also a little bit more challenging, but maybe there's one word that'll stand out with you. Once again, why does this company exist? This is what they say. We exist with every cup, with every conversation, with every community. We nurture the limitless possibilities of human connection. Starbucks. They're more than just a coffee company. They really want to unite and bring people together. What about this one? To make Jesus the foundation of every home for generations to come. Yeah, Foundation Church. That's why we exist. That's why we exist. Go back to that statement there. To make Jesus the foundation of every home for generations to come. Matthew 7 gives us two options. We can either build our life on the rock or we can build our life on the sand. We all get a choice. What I pray is that we become a church that helps family build their house on a foundation that actually stands, on a foundation that is built to last. Because why do we need to be built to last? Because the storm is coming. And it says that it will beat against the house, that the winds will come and the rains will fall, but the house that is built on the rock will last. It says it will not fall. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for your family. That's what I want for my own. And so what do we pray? We want to help you make Jesus the foundation of which you build your life upon, so that when the storms come, you may stand. And I don't see that just for your life. I see it for your kids' life and my kids' life and their kids' life, so that we can build a legacy for years to come that is built and found on the rock. The legacy may begin today with you and how you are leading and guiding your family over the next year. Once again, you can't be neutral on this subject, because you will either lead in a positive direction or you won't. But the way in which we begin this is just to ask the simple question of why do we exist? As a family, why do we exist? I began to think about this for my own. And it's something that you spend time on, something you begin to think about. But these words begin to resonate a lot with me. Why does the Rayburn family exist? To encounter the love of God and to share it with others. That's why we exist. Begin to like, oh yeah, that resonates. I could take what's on the wall and say, why do we exist as a family? To encounter Jesus, to grow together, and to serve others. All in the name of Jesus. Why does your family exist? Why does your family exist? What is it that you hope to accomplish? What is the great purpose of your home? What is it? What is it? That's where we begin. Number one, answering that question. Number two, this one is a lot more fun, is you begin to discover the core values. The core values of which you live by are already established. They're the very heart of who you are. They're not what you aspire to be, but what truly defines you. What are the core values of your home? What are they? What are they? I want to share a few just to give some examples. I was working with my son Asher one day. I trained my boys to cook. Anybody else love to teach their kids how to cook? My mother taught me. She started with scrambled eggs. It's a great place to start. You can ruin scrambled eggs. It is possible, but it's hard to do. It's hard to do. But he was fixing sausage and eggs one morning. And I looked at him and I said, son, you know why we cook? Do you know why we cook? I said, because we feed people. In our home, we feed people. And in order to feed people, we have to know how to cook. And the reason that we feed people is because we're hospitable. We open up our homes to others and we make sure that they're fed and that they're taken care of. And so in order for you to do that, you have to be right here in this kitchen. And you're going to learn, and you're going to grow. But I got it. I know it. Like, we are a family that values hospitality. 100%. 100%. Now, we're also a family. I was going to bring you with. We value, like, exploration, exploring. Like, let's go to the woods somewhere on a trail. I'm not like John Muir. Like, I'm not that. I like following a trail, getting from one destination to the next. But I want to do it with my family. I want to get them outside. I want them to see that God is a creator and his creation is good. We value that. On our wall, you'll find a photo. It's of a deer by a stream. And underneath it, it says Psalm 42:1. As a deer pants for streams of flowing water, so my soul pants for you, O God. Psalms 42:1 is on our wall as a reminder that what we value really at the deepest core is that we are a people that thirst after God. Thirst. We pant. Even in droughts and even in storms, we are a people that do. We value, as Psalms 42 will later say, we value putting our hope in God. What do you value today? It's in you. It is innately a part of who you are, of the way in which God has wired you and defined you to lead your family and to lead the vision of your life. What are the core values that you have? What is it? What are they for you and your family? Think about it. Ask some questions. Think deeply, because the values will also be a way in which you lead and guide your family. Now, this is where we get to have a whole lot of fun, because 2025, we're defining why we exist. We're thinking about the core values, but I want you to spend a few moments here. Close your eyes all across the room, and I want you to envision with me what could be over the next year. You get to dream a little bit. Close your eyes and imagine your life 1 year from now. Imagine your family 1 year from now. Now think about it a little bit further. 5 years from now, think about your son, think about your daughter, think about your wife, think about your husband, think about your mother, your father. 5 years from now, what does life look like? 10 years from now, what does life look like? 15 years from now, what is it that you see? What is it? What are you envisioning today for your family? I want to ask this question. Like, you can open your eyes just for a moment. I really want to step into this one, especially in the new year. Listen, in 2025, or 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what do you want your marriage to look like? What do you hope for your marriage? Some of you are like, to still be married. Like, could there be more than that? Could there be a deeper vision than that? Like, how do you want to love your wife 10 years from now? What would that be? What about for your kids? What kind of adults do you want your kids to become? What kind of home do you want to create? Listen, these are just some of the most fun and powerful questions, but they help you give it a vision for what's to come. Listen, like 5 years from now, there's a word I'll tell my boys. This is so good, guys. I'll say, your mother is the most beautiful woman in the world. 5 years from now, that's true. 10 years from now, that is true. Like, I want that to be the greatest truth of our marriage, that I still find unbelievable beauty in her. But I communicate this to my boys, and here's what I say. One day, you will have a woman in your life that you will find as the most beautiful person in the world. And you can love her unconditionally, and you can love her faithfully. That's a vision, right? It's a vision, but I'm telling you now, like, I don't want to just be in a marriage. I want to have a marriage that is on fire. I want to have a marriage that's thriving. I want to have a marriage that's still fun. Like, what does that look like for you? Amen. For my kids, I begin to think about this, like, Asher, like, what kind of man do I want him to be in? I'm telling you, listen, how old is he? He's 7? Daggone. There's not a lot of time left, is there? Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? They get to be like 18, 19, and they're kind of gone, and they don't really want to listen to you for at least 5 years, at least. I don't have much time. But like, whenever he turns 18 to 22, anybody in here in the room that has a daughter that's about 7 to 10 or a little bit younger, you're lucky that there's Ashers in the world. That's what I believe. You're going to be lucky to call, like, my son a potential candidate for your daughter, because he's going to be a man that loves the Lord, and he's going to be a man that will respect your daughter. Amen. I see it. I know it. I believe it. Yes. Like right now, we are already thinking about who he will become there. Kindness is a big value in our family. He will be kind. He'll be compassionate. Now, whoever marries August, you're going to have a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
But let me tell you something. He's going to be a protector. He's going to be a protector. Like, he's going to fight. He's going to fight. And he's going to fight into the Lord. He's going to fight into your daughter. He's going to be a protector. Avery, he's just still saying words, trying to. So we don't really know yet, but we're excited for who he will be. But there's something that we're trying to do here. Listen, your kids, your marriage, your family, like your grandkids, like they are becoming something. Your marriage is moving towards something. Your relationships are moving towards something. What I'm challenging with you today is that I believe that you have a greater capacity to decide and to define today what that may be. With the hope of a family vision, I believe that you can begin to see your relationships thrive. You think about your weight, it's great. Think about your personal health, okay, awesome. Think about the decisions you're making personally, I love it. But I don't want you to miss your family. Have a vision today for your family that is built upon a reason for why you exist, that's built upon core values, and is built upon a future that you just can't stop envisioning and thinking about. And I want to encourage you, listen, how do you make it stick? How do you make it stick? Well, Habakkuk gives us that little last piece of direction here is you write it down. As you write it down. What I want to challenge you with today is that you would take small steps of having these conversations, but then actually writing them down, what the vision is, what the core values is, and what we hope to see for our families. Listen, and you can begin to just have a moment where you begin to see these things come to life. As I bring this thing to a close, Joshua 24:15 has been that verse for many, many families. We throw it up there, Eric, for us. This isn't like something you throw up on there, you find on Pinterest, you put on your wallpaper. It can be that, but it's not what God intended. There is a line here in Joshua. It says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This becomes a declaration of our life. This becomes a declaration of purpose. It is a vision for us, a vision for what we will stand for, what we will stand against, and what we will continue to proclaim as the truth of our lives. This is our last prayer. Ryan, you can come on up as we go into a time of reflection and worship. So, what's the vision for your family in 2025? What's the vision for your marriage in 2025? What is it that you are sensing and believing right now that God has put into your life for a reason why you exist? What is it right now that God has innately created in you as core values of your life? And then what is it that you are envisioning for the future? And we want to take steps that would help you move in that positive direction to where you can define this for 2025, to where you can write it down, you can make it a reality. Joshua 24:15, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We believe that the greatest vision that you could have for your life is one that is built on who Jesus is and what he has done. It will always lead you and guide you by still waters outside of chaos into a life that is better than what the world has to offer. And I pray that today would be a day that you and your family would make decisions, have conversations about what it looks like for you to have a Christ-centered, God-fearing vision for your family. Would you stand with us this morning? Now, that's a lot to just take in on one Sunday.
So what I want to encourage you with is that this is going to be an ongoing conversation outside of Sundays. We're going to be communicating it through our team. We're going to be communicating through the groups. We're going to be communicating through a newsletter. How do you actually craft a family vision? What are some questions that can help you and your family discern and find direction over the next few weeks as you think about this and pray about this and plan this out? We want to support you and help you in this. But I just want to challenge you. What can you do today? Go home and ask a couple questions. Go home and pray. See what the Lord is doing in your heart and soul. And may 2025 be different for you and for your families. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us into your house. Lord, it is because of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, that we can even step into a vision, God, of a greater year and a greater years to come. It is because, God, of your Son, that we can find hope for a future. Lord, it is because of your Son that we can find direction of what it means to find peace and joy and love in this life. And Lord, we pray for those today that have been drifting for far too long, God, that they would set their heart and soul on you today. God, that you would become the compass of their life, that you would become the one of which directs them steps, their steps today. Lord, we pray that we would not be passive, Lord, in this exploration and this adventure, God, of finding a vision for our life, but that we would be very intentional in seeing it come to life. In Jesus' sweet name we pray, amen.